novo.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Toon Review for tonight's transfer show. Of course, it is the first one building up to the transfer window, which opens in a couple of days' time. However, we are doing something a little bit different tonight with regards to the players that we are going to look at. One of them is certainly a possibility for January, and the rest are going to be who we can talk to in January, with a chance of signing in the summer on a free. So we're going to look at some of the bigger players who are available on free transfers as well. Just something different to take us away from the, you know, all the crap that's going on at the minute, transfer window, etc. So it is a bit different. So we hope you enjoy it, and also obviously take part in the show in the comments. Let us know what you think of the players that we dish you up with tonight. We've got Johnny as a new member. So Johnny, welcome to Members Club. Thank you very much for signing up. As usual, if you do enjoy the show tonight, guys, do hit the thumbs up button. Still very, very important. We keep those likes coming in, so we're right up there in the search results on YouTube. Please do subscribe if you are new and you like what you're seeing tonight. Bottom right-hand corner, click the logo, click subscribe, and come and be part of this incredible community here on the Toon Review. You can become a member of the Toon Review like Johnny just has by hitting the join button underneath the three of us. And of course, you can donate to the channel if you do so wish by hitting that dollar sign at the bottom of the live comments. And that will also guarantee your comment to be read out. Right. Good evening, fellows.
Good evening.
Hello.
Now, tonight is, as I say, a little bit something different. Obviously, on the earlier show today, we were talking about Calvin Phillips and talking about Dominic Solanke. Certainly, you know, thinking about it, Calvin Phillips for me is a no-brainer. It's a brilliant signing for me. I'm not sure about Solanke, Billy.
Oh, certainly am. I think Dominic Solanke is the perfect third striker. He offers something different from the other two. He's physical, quick. He's finally found his feet in the Premier League. He's a good finisher. I think he's a fantastic third signing. However, I do think he probably costs too much.
Yeah, it's always the case in January, Alex, isn't it? When a lot of clubs like to put up their the transfer fees, especially when Newcastle United come knocking. But interesting news coming from Italy, Alex. I don't know whether you've seen it about Inter Milan. They are in serious financial crisis and on the verge of going bankrupt. So they could be looking to get rid of a few players in January to try and sort that problem out.
Barilla.
Yeah, exactly.
No, somebody, maybe not him, but I mean, they're all struggling a little bit, aren't they? Juventus, Inter, specifically those two. We'll see what's available. We'll see if we go. We've not really been, it's a little bit frustrating because we've not really been the sort of team that's been picking up on opportunistic signings or free transfers. Villa have done that, and I'm a little bit jealous that we kind of haven't, and I don't really know why. Because we are very, very intent on getting the right profile of player, which is fair. It's fair enough. But
yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes it's difficult because you're like, oh, but it's free. They're so good sometimes. But we'll see. I'm sure we'll pick up someone at some point.
Yeah. Yorgi, thank you very much for gifting the Toon Review membership. Thank you so much for that. Nort, you have been given the membership, so well done to Nort. He is now a member for a month, and hopefully will continue to be a member once that free month runs out. A lot of sort of things going on in the chat today and after the show earlier on today about, you know, Dominic Solanke. Not many people are. It's not really exciting many people. I mean, Billy, you've been a Solanke fan for a while, but there is kind of a little bit of, disappointment, but there's not really a lot of excitement there for him. So, Dominic Solanke may come in, but the money that we'd have to pay, and I don't think Bournemouth will be too keen to get rid of him. But again, Billy, a lot of people are aiming at this at Eddie House, you know, he's getting his favourite players in and stuff like that, rather than concentrating maybe on the footballing side.
Yeah, I can understand that to a degree. Of course, he signed him at Bournemouth, didn't he?
Yes.
But it's taken him a while to kind of get to Premier League level. He's finding his feet in his first season with Eddie Howe, you know, his last season at Bournemouth. Went to Championship, scored goals. Last season, back to the Premier League. Again, found it difficult. This season, he's finally finding his feet and scoring goals. Mm. Is it a purple patch? Is it a fact he's now acclimatised to Premier League football? I don't know. But what he has got is physical attributes are different to the ones we've got in the club at the minute. So for me, he's an ideal, not a third choice striker, but one to be used in rotation.
Yeah.
And one you'd probably have to pay 40 odd million for at the least, though, which is kind of a problem, I guess, for someone. You could pay twice that for someone more than twice as good, I guess. Mm. But yeah, I'd be quite happy to see Solanke coming in.
Interesting. I agree with Claire. I'd love to see Mitrovic back, even if it's on loan till the end of the season. I really would. If Solanke had been doing it for a couple of seasons, then yeah, but he reminds me of Calvert-Lewin. I think he's a little bit different to Calvert-Lewin, given that Calvert-Lewin's very rarely on the pitch. But of course, Solanke's had his injuries over the past as well. Let's not forget about that. So, it doesn't matter which Newcastle United players go for. Newcastle United go for, Alex. We are always going to be split on opinions of these players, aren't we? There's always going to be fans that say no. There's always going to be fans that say yes. And there's always going to be fans that are, sitting on the fence, not sure about them at all.
Mm. I mean, personally, I think Solanke's an excellent player. Profiles well, 6'1", aggressive, strong. The data's good. He's good on the eye. He's peak age as a 26-year-old right now. And I don't think there's much of an issue with the injury record at the moment. 32 starts last year, 46 starts the year before, 38 starts the year before that. It's fine. He's playing all the time. He has done for the last 3 years. Yeah. 12 goals from 10 XG. He's fine. He's absolutely fine. The thing is with strikers, I don't think it's a priority situation right now. And I think the way we're going to recruit is either going to be one of two ways. We're either going to bring in a superstar who's above Isak, or we'll bring in somebody younger who's going to be okay as being third choice. And I don't think Solanke fits either.
Well, yeah, this is the decision that's got to be made, though. Yeah, for me, this is the decision that has to be made. Are we bringing in a striker just to be third choice? And if so,
yes,
I think what strikers are going to be?
Either bringing in someone amazing or third choice.
Yeah,
because the problem is bringing someone. We've got to juggle Callum. That's the thing.
Well, I disagree in a little bit, Alex, when you say that it's not a main priority. I think it is. I think the whole spine is. I think a goalkeeper, number six, and a striker are really...
Do you not argue that right wing is more important at the moment?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, I've been banging on about right wing all season. I think we all have. But I think what we need to look at here is where we can sign players permanently for certain positions, or who would suit better to be a loan player until the summer. If we could get a striker, let's say, from Saudi, who is willing to come in till the end of the season and do a job for us, then maybe that would wrap up the striker position. Reports are ramping up this afternoon on David De Gea coming in, that Newcastle United are going to reopen talks with him. So, things are progressing now, aren't they? They look like we are moving forward, especially Calvin Phillips. That one looks nailed on now for the first couple of days of January, which... for me, it's all, people were saying in this morning show about getting people in quickly. I don't think it's going to be like that in January. I think there'll be maybe Calvin Phillips, for example, through the door early, but we will be probably all the way through till deadline day on this transfer window, trying to do deals up until the last minute. I don't know what you guys think, but I just think that's the way January works sometimes, especially when clubs know that you're after players, and certainly when they know Newcastle United comes knocking. So it's going to be a very, very interesting January. Larry says, Mitro loves the club. Why would he say no? Paddy says, thank you for everything that you do. All the best for 2024. Thank you, Paddy. How many goals has Mitrovic scored this season? I don't actually know his stats in the Saudi league. I'm sure Alex is going to have a quick look. Snow Leopard says Mitrovic is ancient history. De Gea, Man U, cast off. I disagree with him being a cast off, Snow Leopard. 100% disagree. He couldn't come to an agreement with Manchester United. And I think Manchester United, looking back, will be gutted. They let him go and signed Onana. Because it's been an absolute, Onana, Billy. And it's been quite a disaster for them.
Mitrovic just got 16 goals in 16 appearances in Saudi and 5 goals in 6 appearances in the Asian Champions League as well. It's bonkers. So and 3 goals in 3 in the King's Cup. Basically, it's one off a goal a game in every competition he's playing in at the moment.
Yeah, but you know what people are going to say? Oh, it's the Saudi League. Yeah, yeah.
I can hear them typing it already. Yeah, definitely going
to
be a couple.
Listen, he can only do what he can. He's on the pitch to score goals and he's doing it. But look, let's not forget how good he was before he went to the Saudi League. He was banging in goals for Fulham left, right and centre. So I think out of Solanke and Billy, if you were offered Solanke or Mitrovic, where would you head this time?
Solanke.
Really?
How many crosses do we get in for Mitrovic heading the net?
Well, that's very true.
Yeah, Solanke does a lot more off the ball and is 3 years younger. But personally, I wouldn't get it either. I'd go somewhere else.
Well, I'd offer the choice of two. I'd go somewhere else myself personally. But
yeah. I mean, look, De Gea's wages that people are mentioning, and I think you have to look at De Gea and think, right, he's a free transfer. Therefore, we can offer him a bigger signing on fee to bring his wages down. And that's, I think, what Newcastle United would probably look at doing. Because when you get a free signing, it takes away the middleman all the time. And, you know, you're not having to pay a lot of, you're not having to pay a transfer fee to the other club, etc. So I think offering him a bigger signing on fee and bonuses would bring the wage down. And that's what they'll work at. Ian says, Isak is going to be number one with Wilson and the backup support. Isak is our striker for the next 5 years. I don't think he's a striker, though. That's the problem. Very interesting. But let's start the show off tonight with, we're going to start with one player that looks nailed on to be coming to Newcastle. We're going to have a look at him, and then we're going to look at people whose contracts are running out at the end of 2024, at the end of the 23-24 season. And who we can actually negotiate deals with in January. But we'll have a look at the first one, Alex. And I think we all know who this is going to be. There he is, Calvin Phillips. Take it away, Alex.
Yeah, so I wanted to keep this purely free transfers today, but just based on there's just ludicrous amounts of media hype and articles from everybody about him. So we kind of have to cover him slightly. I know there's a lot of people out there saying there are better alternatives. I agree. There's a lot better alternatives out there. Mm. However, obviously, it's a rumoured loan. There has been some crazy loan prices quoted today. I've seen £7 or 8 million quoted as a loan fee, which is a little bit absurd, to be honest. You know, that's what we've literally just paid for, like, Minter, but as a loan fee. That's bonkers. But he is contracted to Man City till 2028, so... Mm. It is what it is. So he's currently 28 years old. He's not really played a lot this season. 200 minutes in those two competitions. Obviously, this is, doesn't include anything that he's done in sort of Carabao Cup and friendlies. If we scroll down and have a look at the important bits, the data. So as expected, a midfielder for Man City is doing a lot of the passing. He's moving the ball with his feet a lot and finding a lot of his teammates. So this is very expected. But still very good. You know, you've got to be passing it well. Sample size. Let's not get too excited. It is over 500 minutes. But I think
Alex, I'm just interrupt you there because you know we were just mentioning taking a look at Mitrovic's statistics. I think Ken's just been he's had a bit of a store. Has anybody actually been watching how Mitro has been playing in Saudi in a league which is no better than League One? Should take a look. Then you might not shout as loud to bring him back. There you go, Ken. We've given you the stats on Mitrovic and. Yeah, I'd have him back.
I mean, that's, you're putting words in our mouth there. We prefer to go in other directions, but we're just
idea. Yeah, absolutely. Go on. Continue.
It's all right. So ball progression is still pretty solid, though. I'm quite impressed with the ball progression statistics here. It's above average in progressive passes and progressive carries. He's a good technical player. You know, if you remember, Southgate used to use him slightly further forward as well. Mm. When we did a funny Phillips and Declan Rice double pivot that. It's been abandoned. Defensive output is really, really high as well. I'm really impressed with the aerials one and the clearances. Very physically demanding. Physically impressive. Sorry, wrong words. But again, small sample size. So we've got to give this a pinch of salt. The main thing I would say is a lot of people questioning whether he's going to be fit enough to play. I think that's a bit naive to say that based on the fact he's at Man City and he's training with Man City regularly. I think if he was out of shape, Pep would shame him and leave him out because he's done it before. Pep has literally left him out and said he's fat, he's not playing. So I think if there was any sort of, you know, if that was an issue, I think we'd know about it because I think it would know. Pepper talk about it. Yeah. Is this the best option? No, but it's a quoted loan for somebody who's a competent midfielder. And if we go down, if we actually scroll down and have a look at who his comparison players are, you've got Zubimendi on here, who I think is absolutely outrageous, who we should go for personally. Tchouaméni, linchpin of Real Madrid's midfield at the moment. Vecino's a quality player as well. Played a lot in Italy. Bissouma's on this list. Krunic for Milan's on this list. So he's in good company with how he's profiling. And we all know where he's been. Leeds and Man City. We know that. But last two seasons, two starts with 12 appearances last year, 300 minutes total. So he's played in the Premier League 393 minutes across two seasons. It is pretty woeful. And I feel like he would be very, very useful for us on loan. But I think there will be, if we do get him, I do think there'll be teething problems. I think he's going to have to learn to fit the system. I think there's going to be the odd mistake. He's not going to be perfect straight away. It's not going to fit like a glove. Mm-hmm. And that might be an issue because I think there's a lot of fans won't give him a chance. If he makes a couple of mistakes or isn't perfect in the first three games, I think people will be absolutely on his back. But he's more than good enough for this midfield. I mean, when he's got a run of games, he's going to offer us a lot more than Sean Longstaff does in technical ability. And he's a good DM. He would offer us something different. It's not my first choice, guys. We're looking at him because we're linked. But if we get him, it definitely helps. It plugs a gap. It's a short-term option.
Yeah.
That's the data. This is the guy. There we go. Think of that what you will. I personally think for the loan fee quoted at 7 million, it's ridiculous. And I feel like we might as well just look at a long-term option and go and purchase someone. But
yeah,
depends on the finances.
The loan fee is interesting, but if you remember back to last January, Man United were asking 12 million loan fee for Jesse Lingard. And look how that's gone for Lingard. I think, it looks from what the media reports are coming in that, you know, talks are very advanced now with Calvin Phillips. The Juventus thing is not going to happen, apparently. And he's very, very keen on joining Newcastle, where I think he probably would get a lot of first team football simply because he's that number six that we don't have a proper six. And I think that would promote Bruno to move further forward for his creativity. And somebody mentioned this morning about Calvin Phillips, you know, and his skill levels and things like that. I'm not too bothered about that because Billy, if you remember back to the days of David Batty playing in the sixth position, he just used to win the ball and give it simple. And that's all his job was. And he did it very, very well. And Calvin Phillips can be that kind of player, you know, just win the ball back, good hard tackler, and then give it to the more advanced players further forward to create opportunities.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Calvin Phillips. The one thing that worries me is the fact that he doesn't get selected for Man City. And if Rodri is suspended or injured, he still doesn't get selected, which means he's third choice, number six, if you like. But he's very good when he plays for England. He does a really good job for England, very solid. He's a little bit different to David Batty, and he gets forward a little bit more. Not as tough in the tackle as David Batty was, but an all-round good player. And yeah, one that will certainly be good for us for 6 months until Tonali's ready to come back into the fold. I think that's all it is. It's a stopgap. And people thinking we're going to sign him permanently, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean...
And as to the Jesse Lingard one, that was all the more ridiculous, the fact that he was out of contract at the end of that season.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
they wanted £12 million to loan him. At the end of that season, he was going to be nothing.
Yeah, that was just Manchester United being an absolute arsehole about the whole thing. Yeah, a lot of people are mentioning that, to be honest, about people coming in ready to go and you know, not do what Eddie's done in the past with new signings, is keep them on the bench 5-6 weeks and slowly integrate them. We need people that are ready to go in the situation that we are in. That's why I think January is a massive month in the transfer market for Newcastle United. I mean, a lot of people mentioned Ivan Toney. I don't think that's going to happen. Tammy Abraham, you know, he's out there, but he's perfectly happy in Italy at the minute. I think he's found a new sort of lease of life in Italy, and I don't think Tammy Abraham would actually come back. But there is players out there. Let's be honest, there is more than Calvin Phillips, and you know, the likes of Mitrovic, who we will be looking at. But Newcastle will have been looking for a long time now. You know, not just they won't have just started looking at players. They'll have done the due diligence, hopefully, for the last few months. Let's just hope we don't end up with a Tonali situation. Steve, welcome to Members Club. Thank you for signing up to the Tune Review membership. Welcome to the family, my friend. David Noble, who's been a member for 2 months, says, best thing I've done in a while was joining the Tune Review. Thank you so much. And Geordie Ladd, who's been a member for 3 months now, says, January is going to be a very important month, in my opinion. We at least need 3 to 5 new faces and possibly 1 or 2 loans. I mean, you're talking there, what, 6 or 7 players? I don't think we'll be bringing that many in. That's a lot to ask for. Lawrence says, a loan for Phillips would be good. Got him until Tonali is available again, and no pressure to pay his full wages if we decide not to keep him once the season ends. Toon Gamer says, Man City play possession football and don't play high intensity like us. It's gone really quiet on Ruben Neves, says Nathan. Is this the calm before the storm of trying to get him? Surely still be many interested clubs in him, including us. John Bruce says, people should realise that Mitro is a completely different player now. That's what I've tried to say. He's matured an awful lot. Ken says, I know Mitro scored goals, Paul, but even me at 65 and disabled would score goals against those defenders. Well, fair enough, but he can only do what he's against. You know what I mean? I thought he was brilliant for Fulham before he left for the Saudi League. So I still think he's got something to offer. But I can understand people, against it as well for different reasons.
I mean, people have to understand it's halfway through the Saudi League season.
Yeah.
They're not going to be willing to get rid of the players halfway through the season.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult negotiations whichever way we turn. But now we're going to look at something different. We're going to look at some of the players that are going to be available as free transfers at the end of the season who haven't signed new contracts with their clubs and are able to negotiate transfer deals in January to sign in the summer. I don't know who Alex has got here. So I'm intrigued to find out who's on the list tonight. So here we go. The first player is...
Who is it? Who's it going to be? Cool. So we're going to pick from free transfer list. We're going to start with somebody on the top, and we're going to start with Mr. Piotr Zieliński.
Yes.
The Napoli midfielder, 29 years old. Let's go to his FB ref. So Piotr Zieliński from Ząbkowice Śląskie in Poland.
Yep.
So amazing, amazing, amazing player. A little bit older now, so this is an iffy one. There's definitely a lot of personal bias in me choosing this guy for a show. However,
not the phenomenal past wife, and you've lived quite a long time out there.
Well, however, did win the Scudetto last year with Napoli and was integral in that midfield.
Yeah,
Napoli were always the bridesmaids in that league for quite a little while. They had sort of Koulibaly in there. And a bunch of who was he? The Slovenian? Was he Slovenian? No. There was Hamšík as well. Was in there. They had a bunch of really, really good players, and they could never win it. And I thought Zieliński was going to be one of the guys who went for them to actually win the league, and he wasn't. He stayed and he was integral. He was very important. He's got a very high technical level, and again, his contract is expiring. I do feel like we should use the free transfer market in the summer to try and just bring in some extra experience, just an extra body. That I don't think there's any reason why we can't do that. We've not done it yet, and I would love us to. So we're going with Mr. Zieliński here. So far this season, 1,200 minutes with 2 goals, 2 assists, with 500 minutes nearly in the Champions League. So a lot of experience in his legs. So if we scroll down and have a look, he is a very tidy footballer. There's not much in the way of defensive contributions there, but this is somebody that's going to sit there and spray the ball about, very, very technically gifted. You're going to have to make sure that there's somebody a bit more physical next to him. He's not the physical guy. So, but passes, really, really high. Ball progression's really, really high. Successful take-ons is above average. His shots total is very, very decent for a midfielder. 79th percentile. Shot creating actions for teammates. There's his technical ability, his passing range, his passing quality. Again, he's played as a 10. He's played as a double pivot. He's played in a 3-man midfield. He plays where he's told, and he's very, very good at it. He's been a very high technical level player for a very, very long time. And if we go and have a look at who he profiles as, more like, you can see what I mean by that. Gundogan, Modric, Angel Gomez, Barella, Udegaard. He's not the most physical guy, but he can pull strings. He pulls all the strings. He's that sort of player. He's very, very technically gifted. And I don't feel like we've got that in our passing locker at the moment. And for people saying I'm not looking at a six, we're just looking at people who are available. I'm sorry that the first five free transfers aren't natural sixes.
This isn't looking at January, guys. I did stipulate that at the start of the show. We're doing something a little bit different just to move away from the pressures of what's going on now, having a look at what's going to happen in the summer. So, you know, we can look forward a little bit. There's no reason you can't necessarily
get someone in January for a cut price fee if the club won a bit of money. Not necessarily Napoli, but... There are situations where it makes sense.
Because we have
Randy
to...
Granny, he's not the Polish Sean Longstaff. No. Sean Longstaff wishes he could have nearly five shot-creating actions.
Yeah, when you've got a player there with more green than what's in Ant Asad's loft, you know he's a good player.
I'll tell you what, I feel like this is going to be beneficial for everyone.
You're going to compare them here.
I'm going to compare them.
Yeah. So just to reiterate, guys, this is looking at players that we can start negotiations with in January for potentially free signing them in the summer. So we're doing something a little bit different. Obviously, building up to the transfer window, we will have plenty of transfer shows coming up during the whole window as we get linked to more and more players. Sorry, Alex, go on.
So you can see the stark contrast there. Sean's got more in terms of clearances, blocks, interceptions. I mean, tackles are pretty much the same, to be honest. And then you can see passes attempted, shot-creating actions, and all kinds of ball progression is this one here, is Zieliński. He's a far better technical player. And he's one of the reasons why we bought Tonali, because we needed somebody to do Sean Longstaff things, but a lot better. So, you know, maybe we don't need a guy like this when we've got Tonali. Maybe long-term, it's not the best idea. But it depends what we want to do long-term with certain players. But, you know, as a free transfer option on maybe a shorter contract, who knows? You know, the age profile isn't great, but I think he's absolutely incredible. And I don't think it hurts to pick up one of this profile. I understand, you know, there's people talking about the age profile of the squad. I agree. But most of our recent recruitment has been between the ages of 23 and 20, 25, 26.
Well, for me, there's nothing wrong with bringing a bit of experience in, Alex, because...
Yeah, the odd player of this age isn't an issue. As long as it's not all the time. You've got to make sure generally it's okay. And you can look at his record here. He's always available. 33 starts, 32, 32, 26, 27. He's always available, plays all the minutes. He's always battling for European spaces in Italy. And he got his Scudetto last year with 37 appearances, 27 starts. He got 8 assists, 3 goals. I mean, look at the numbers. He's putting up the numbers. He got 18 goal contributions in his peak year. He got 11 the year after that. If I can count, he got 12 last year in the Scudetto. He's on 4 this year. He always puts up good numbers as well. Is that 11? Can I count? It is 11. I can't count.
So was the one before.
It's the bright lights, I promise. So he's putting up really, really good numbers as well. It's definitely there. In terms of his, here he is, BMG Sport. I had a little look. They're all Polish. We don't really know anybody. 86 caps for Poland with 10 goals. The guy has so much experience. Again, contract expires June the 30th, 2024, so he's going to be available. He's also got a bunch of experience at youth level as well for Poland. He's played everywhere.
Is he linked with anyone at the minute, Alex? Does it tell you if he's linked to somebody?
Not that I've seen, no. There's nothing that tells me on Transfermarkt. I mean, he might sign a new contract with Napoli. We don't know. Or he might be one of these. A lot of players in Serie A always tend to sidestep to other clubs in Italy. I don't know why, but it seems to be quite a theme. This is the agency he's with. He is the highest rated player on the agency. You've got Kapustka. I think this is the guy who was at Leicester a few years ago, who was highly rated, who just never worked out. He's back at Warsaw now. You've got Copenhagen. I've got a goalkeeper. There's not really anybody. Most of them play in Poland. You've got Kamiński, who's pretty good, who's at Wolfsburg. Right. So recent games, Napoli have been really, really struggling as well. Really struggling. They've got a bit of a hangover from last year. They've lost a couple of players. Most recently, their game against Roma when Mourinho got in everyone's face because he was doing Mourinho things. They got Osimhen and Politano sent off. It was a bit of a funny game and they did lose.
I saw the Osimhen sending off and I thought it was ridiculous, to be honest. I think he got two yellow cards, but I thought the second yellow card was, you know, crazy. But you get that in Serie A sometimes, don't you?
But he still put up a 7, a good rating. He's been doing all right, but Napoli have been really, really struggling. I mean, if we try and find a game, you know, they lost to Inter, they lost to Juventus 1-0 as well. They've just beat Braga, so that was in the Champions League. Let's have a look at that game. How did he do in that game? 6.6. What did he actually drop? So he's everywhere. He's involved in set pieces as well, which is good for us. So he dropped 90% passing accuracy, fairly reasonable with his dribbles and physical contribution, a little bit quiet. But again, more of a metronome. He's definitely not that physical presence. Again, you've got Lobotka, you've got Frank Anguissa in midfield as well, who's a bit more of a tank. So he's not going to be the physical guy. But I really like him. I think there's a lot of personal bias in there, and I think there's probably a lot of better options. However, he's free, and it's, you know, we could do with someone of that profile at some point, maybe.
Yeah, Billy, what do you make of him?
Yeah, Carmen, Ed with experience. I mean, I won't be against that kind of signing at all, whether it be him or someone else.
Yeah, I think, you know, you've got to get that blend of youth and experience, and I think he would be certainly one of the experienced ones. Lewis says, did anyone see Sean Casey linking us with a move for Jordan Henderson? Apparently, he's very keen on a move back to the Northeast. Please, God. Look, I don't know how many times we have to say it. If you want to listen to him and, you know, fine. If you want to believe what comes out of his gob, then fine. I just think you're just wasting your time. He's just a clickbait merchant for me. You know, some of them may come off. But listen, you know, we stand by what we say on this channel. We're not in the know. We are waiting to see what the club tell us. And what the club tell us, we will then tell you guys. So, you know, we talk about it once the club has announced it. This is just talking about players that are out there and seeing what they could bring to the club. We will never say or link anybody ourselves to Newcastle United. We are just talking about what's in the media. We're just having a look tonight, for example, at free transfers and see whose contracts are running out and what they could offer to Newcastle. Simple as that. Andy says Zielinski will be 30 in May. The club is looking to reduce the age profile of the squad. Julie J says definite upgrade on Sean Longstaff. Bring him in on a free, then sell Longstaff, profit and upgrade on Longstaff.
The rest of our midfielders are pretty young. Tonali, yeah. Anderson, Miley, you know, Bruno's sort of peak age now. Joe Linton's what, 27? You know, the age profile's not. We could tolerate a, you know, a 30-year-old in the midfield. It wouldn't be terrible, but maybe just one though. You can't have loads in the squad.
Yeah. Ryan says our current squad average age is 26.9. You think we should lower it, increase it, or maintain it, Alex?
Well, yeah, but the next if we sign somebody of that profile, we'd need to sign a couple to offset that, and I think we will do that. I think if we bring in a centre-half, we might bring in like a young right-sided centre-half as a Fabian Cher heir, for example. He might be between 21, 23 years old. Mm. Like, you know, we can still do that. It's not a problem.
Foxy says that Inter are heavily linked to Zielinski. However, that Inter may have to look at out the door rather than in the door, given the reports that are coming out of Italy at the minute regarding their financial state. David says apparently Liverpool is strongly linked with Zielinski. Klopp has been trying to sign him for years, according to some reports. Hope he doesn't end up there. Stephen's asking if we have any right wingers on the free transfer list. Ian says don't sell any of our good players. Look at Spuds when they sold Bale, Bruno, Big Joe, Botman, all keep.
I mean, Mbappe's on the list, but he's more of a left winger.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen, is it? I mean, it just won't. Claire said, would sell Miggy and Longstaff, keep Big Joe and Bruno. They are the true workhorses on the team. Oh, careful, careful, Claire. You'll get the Miggy fan club coming after you.
Only he runs around. Sorry. The only natural right winger I can see on the first two pages is Nicola Pepe, who left Arsenal. That's the only one I can see. So,
I mean, maybe Billy, would you be up for Pepe?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Fair enough. Right, who's the next one, Alex? I'll let you pick a player first before I bring the screen up.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
We've got to guess who it is next. I mean, I feel like it's kind of obvious because it's not going to be Mbappe. We've done Zielinski, Thomas Suchek. Although Thomas Suchek in my head is like 50 years old and he's not, he's 28. He just seems so much older in my head. We're going for this man, Mr. Rabiot. We've got him on about five other transfer shows.
We're but again, you know what's coming here, Alex. He's 28. He's over the hill. He's done.
I mean, is he?
His mum's going to come up soon. I can tell you that for nothing.
Oh, she's been in the news a lot again the last 6 months.
She has, yeah.
Absolutely. For anybody who doesn't know, the ongoing joke is his mother is his agent.
Yeah.
And he's quite famous among the agents and clubs in Europe because she storms into offices demanding ridiculous things in his contract, and it's quite funny. Anyway, Mr. Rabiot, so very, very good ball carrier. He was meant to be just absolutely top of his class, world class, one of the best midfielders in the world. And I don't think he's ever quite hit that. He's always been very good. But, you know, never above very good, which was what the expectation was, because he was a freak when he was younger. He was so, so good. Still would be outrageous on a free transfer, though. So 1,300 minutes this year with 5 goal contributions, which is a very smart return from midfield. 15 appearances. Let's go down and have a look at the important bits.
Derek, I think you're smoking something there. Like, what about selling Bruno to finance 3 elite signings? Then when we improve our FFP, buy him back.
We may not have a choice when that comes to summertime, so not beyond the realm of possibility.
Interesting. Sorry, Alex. Go on a minute.
It's outrageous. Very much. When he gets the ball, he's trying to do stuff with it. Only 40 passes attempted per game with mediocre completion rate. But again, he's always trying to do dangerous things. He's always trying to take people on. He's very much a ball carrier. His progressive carries are very, very high, 2.5 per 90. And his successful take-on rate's reasonably good as well. Well above average. Defensive contributions are really tidy, good in the air, physical. It's something that Eddie Howe looks for in the profile. High tackle rate. How tall is he? He's over 6 foot, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, 6'2". 6'2", and left-footed, gives us something different. We don't have many left-footers in the squad at the moment. And in terms of output here, shot-creating actions are nice and healthy at 2.67, above average. 1.5 shots per game. Just really, really tidy metrics. Really, really useful. We can, in fact, let's put him against Sean. Sorry, Sean. Sean's getting absolutely battered today. I do apologise, but...
But we have to do this, Alex, because we're comparing to what we've got now, and we've always said about bringing players into the club that we have to bring players who are better than what we already have.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, you can see there, Sean's red, guys. So, I mean, he's better at everything, pretty much. I mean, marginally in the passes and the blocks. And then Rabiot profile's better in everything else. He gives us a bit of energy, gives us physicality. He's got a higher technical level. Mm-hmm. I think the only thing going against him, he's a couple of years older. About two, three years older, which... Yeah, that's not great. So people talking about money. He's not on that much. He's okay. I can take that back. He's on quite a lot. somebody said 200, and I was like, it's not that much. But okay, I was right, kind of, but it's close.
Yeah, but you're talking about what he's on now, but I'm sure that he will understand that because he's older when he goes to a new club, he's not going to get the same wages for an older player. Whatever his mother thinks, it's going to be what his age demands now. And he can't demand that kind of money when he's, you know, but the fact that he's free would get him a good signing on fee, which again can balance out the wages.
Yeah, I mean, it's Mummy Rabiot that scares me. I'm not. I don't know. She was asking for ludicrous. So she wanted, like, the last time he was going on a free, she was asking for like 10 or 12 million euro signing on fees, which is a lot. That's a lot for a signing on fee. With sort of add-ons, bonuses, and then the salary. You know, the initial outlay pretty much had a transfer fee for a free signing on. It was outrageous. Yeah. But yeah, it's just a shame about who he is and who his mother is, because he's really good. Everything's perfect. It's just...
Well, we've noticed that when we have looked at him before. I mean, Billy, what's your thoughts on Rabiot? Because, you know,
there's his career to date. I mean, that's pretty outrageous.
Yeah, excellent player. He is an excellent player. But, you know, negotiation-wise, I think it'd be tough to get him for the kind of money we want to pay for him. It's his last big move. His mother will be trying to kind of capitalise on that. Yeah. She's bad enough when it wasn't his last big move. So, yeah, I think financial kind of restraints will stop us from probably getting him on a free.
Yeah, it looks that way.
We do have to do a show on who we're releasing at the end of this summer, because it's quite a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of contracts coming to an end, and
you know, the Adidas deal kicking in, plus players going, this might not be as much of an issue as we're making out. And plus, I think there will be new contracts for some of the bigger players. You know, what's Bruno on now with this new contract? He could be on 200 for all we know. We don't know that. So if we'll have to wait and see.
I like that. So what Larry Strawberry's just said, you know, Amanda will sort Mama Rabio out. Can you imagine those two going head to head discussing
doesn't
a contract?
Doesn't have to say Rabio, does it?
Sort rabbit out. Yeah, Amanda doesn't need a rabbit.
I think rabbit's the buzzword there.
Yes. Very lovely, for fuck's sake. You know, on a serious note, you know, Amanda Staveley, you know, going in with Rabiot's mother for a head-to-head. I mean, that I'd love to be a fly on the wall for that, to see them negotiate a contract, given what she's asked for in the past. Brighton have gone one up, by the way, against Tottenham. So that's interesting. Tottenham with a chance of getting back in the top four tonight. Pedro with an amazing assist, apparently. Ken, a player that was heavily linked.
I thought we signed him.
Well, according to who was it said that? Was it it was Fabrizio, wasn't it? It said that.
Yeah, and someone else.
Julie J, we're not getting into that sort of thing, right? I mean, you think of me a dad, whatever you like. Ian A, who's been obviously one of our mods as well, member for 17 months. That could be good. PPV and help effort. There's too
many. Pay-per-view.
Thank you.
Amanda against...
pay-per-view boxing match. Well, yeah, that could be quite good. Rabiot, for me, I've been a fan of Rabiot since he was at PSG. I think he's a very, very good player. I think he's got completely the wrong representation in having his mother on board, because she is probably denied him really good things in life because of the contracts that she negotiates for. Why can't he just negotiate his own contract? He's 28 year old. He's not a kid. I can understand the agents here and there, but having parents as agents is a wrong move. Big no for me. Julie J says she's just trying to bring humor to the channel. I know what your humor is like, Julie. That's the problem.
I think that's my role in the actual channel, Julie.
Yes, and Billy gets told off a lot for some of his humor, although he is very much the humorous one on the channel. But given the comments that we've had in today from the previous show, we're all just a bunch of negative arseholes. honestly, just beggars belief. People that don't know us. I have no idea who we are, decide to come up with crap like that. But the thing is, right, these people who leave these comments, you find the comments coming back on more videos and you think, well, if that's your thought, you're watching every single show. You know what I mean?
If you can be positive about losing away to Luton at home to
exactly.
Then you're a bit of a knobhead.
Yeah. You're not allowed to, Billy. You're not allowed to say anything naughty against Newcastle. You know, you get a big smacked boom. C15 Rise says, big up the panel. I'm positive we get through this month. C15 Rise, I want some of what you're drinking, matey, because you are the inspiration on this channel to keep us going. Because every time you come on, it's a positive comment, and it's like, sod it, life is still good. We are still Newcastle United. We are still going to be the greatest and massive and huge and the best club in the world. And I love it. I love the optimism.
So I do have something nice as well, because Kev's just reminded me with that comment. We can have a little look at Minte and Miley once we've done the last player, if you want, because we did say we would have a look at them in a more relevant show. So.
Yeah. But of course, Minte is going to the AFCON as well, so let's not forget that. So,
I'm terrified of that because,
well,
for anybody who's not watched the African Cup of Nations before, the early rounds, the tackles are
even the referees don't get the time right in the AFCON, do they? I mean, they're all over the shop.
If you've not watched AFCON, if you're from abroad or even from the UK and you've never really gotten into the AFCON, watch the AFCON. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. You'll know exactly what I mean. Yeah. Please watch it.
Yeah. By the way, I'd just like to point out, Steve made the comment there, Sunderland season ticket holders have been offered an extra 2 tickets for the derby, which means they have failed to sell out. and are having to offer extra tickets to season ticket holders. You call yourself a big club, Sunderland. You cannot. You complain about 6,000 Newcastle fans getting tickets when you can't sell out the Derby. Now, who's the big club here? You're always saying that we're a massive club and we's keys are these keys and super duper computers and all of this crap, but you can't sell out for a Derby. That is shameful. Absolutely shameful. And you're now having to say that your season ticket holders are going to have an extra two tickets because we're crap and we can't sell out. Pathetic. There you go, anyway. Have we got another player, Alex?
We have. We've got one more.
Okay. Here we go.
Who is it going to be? I mean, to be fair...
Hang on. Let me have a look. So it's out of those that are on the screen right now, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
It won't be flipping Hannibal because he's shit.
No,
I've actually looked at him. He's not bad.
Oh, God.
But he's not. He's not the one we're looking at. Well, Josh De Silva's a cheeky outside shout. Injured, 25, but very... I don't think he's able to step up to what we want at the moment, but he's still a decent player. But well, I would
Barco.
It is Valentin Barco. It is this young man, left midfield. He's a fullback slash left midfielder.
Oh,
here he is.
Another
one. Boca Juniors. So a little bit of an outside shot. I always like to throw a South American in there somewhere because it's always fun to go to Argentina or Brazil.
Yes.
So 800 minutes in the top flight with one goal, one assist. And...
Andrew DB, half of my family are Sunderland fans. Half of them on my mum. Well, my mum's side of Sunderland, my dad's side Newcastle. Obviously, you know, that day, my mother's already started bantering us about the game. And, you know, you may see me disappear off camera for various moments as we score loads of goals past them just to rub it in their face. But there you go. Sorry, Alex.
Oh, he makes it very clear. I've been to Paul's house. When he goes to wash his hands in the bathroom, on the floor is a Sunderland shirt that you can stand on to wash your hands. It's amazing. Anyway, Libertadores, 600 minutes, one goal, one assist. Let's go down and have a look at the important stuff. I mean,
Yogi, thank you for gifting another membership. That's gone to Sean Taylor. thanks, Yogi.
Yogi. I've got. He's 5'6".
Who, Yogi?
Well, no, Barco. I mean, Yogi might be as well. I'm a little bit concerned by how small he is. It doesn't mean he's not going to work. But obviously, the fact that we tend to go for the sort of left-sided defensive players, Eddie Howe's very much gone for height and aerial prowess. So this is a bit of a stab in the dark, really. But never mind. Still, 19 years old, left-footed, fullback slash left midfielder, very much a Lewis Hawley kind of profile. So if we end up not going that direction...
Great, another one to sit on the bench.
Well, yeah. So, data, just be aware this is not comparing him against the top five leagues in Europe. This is the men's next 14 competitions. So this will include the Portuguese, top flight, the MLS, other leagues like that. So... take the green with a pinch of salt. It's more about the actual per 90 numbers, which are still very impressive. 5 progressive passes per 90, 3 progressive carries. So very, very decent in terms of ball progression. The take on success rate is stupidly good, nearly 2.6 per 90. So it's nearly 3 times he beats his man per game, which is really, really solid. Mm. As a fullback as well, that's pretty mental. Shot creating actions is ludicrously high. I think what does inflate this data slightly is he's been playing in midfield a lot. And this is basically profiling him as a fullback, which I think is a little bit cheating. We could do with him having a left midfield bar here, but we'll get to that point. We'll see. We won't really know too many people from here. although why is
French? My father used to wipe his chuff on the Sunderland part of the Evening Chronicle when out of bog roll. Brilliant. Brilliant. Yogi, thanks for your super chat. I am 6 feet and 250 pounds, not 5'4", lol. There you go.
Place of birth, 25th of May. Have they made an oopsie?
I've never heard of that place before, I have to say.
What? But his birthday's on the 23rd of July. Is there a place in Argentina called the 25th of May? Is that a place?
To me, that, could their, that could be their Independence Day or something. There's a town named after it. Possible.
That's amazing. I want to go there. So two caps and one goal for Argentina under 23s. He's saying he's a left midfielder here. We will go and see where he's played. So you can see it's pretty much very Lewis Hawley in terms of where he's been playing for his club. 13 million rated transfer value. His contract expires in December of 2024. So technically not in the summer. So he might have cheated a little bit on this. I do apologise. But he's still a free agent next year. That wasn't a lie.
Susan, I want to take you to task on that comment. Nothing wrong with 5'4", Yogi. Bless her, Susan is only 4'9". So, you know, I mean, there's obviously definitely nothing wrong with 5'4". But listen, you don't have to be tall to be wonderful. There you go.
Yeah, so decent appearances for other youth, well, for the national youth levels as well. We'll go and have a look at the SOFA score. I feel like this is more important with this player to go and see how he's playing because we don't get as much information from the other sites. So we already know this bit. 19 years old, left-footed. Let's go down and have a look at some games. So played in the most recent game against Ecuador with Thiago Almada, who is also a very, very highly rated young player. So he's in a good group there. Recent game against Godoy Cruz, whoever they are, in the Copa de la Liga Profesional. Let's go and have a look at how he lined up. So as you can see, playing a funny 4-3-3, and he's the left-sided midfielder. So that is why his data is being quite inflated. So he's kind of cheating a little bit, but he's still putting up some really good numbers irrespective of
that's
that.
That's a hell of a formation, isn't it? 4-3-1-2.
Mate, Argentina, they play Christmas trees, they play inverted Christmas trees, they play some outrageous stuff. It's mental. Brazil as well. So he looks like he's been involved in set pieces. Swap sides, you know, throughout the game. Lots of touches of the ball, some crosses, three accurate crosses, a couple of long balls, three successful dribbles, nice and physical. Again, 5 out of 6, that's not bad. That is not bad at all. I mean, who's he up against? He's got some players he's up against. So I'm fairly impressed with how he's actually performing in these games. We've got him against Estudiantes, which is not an easy game. I mean, they did lose it. So his fullback got sent off and got a 3. So he had a very hard game. This is probably why he was rated so highly, because he's probably had to pick up the slack. I didn't watch the game, so I might be misdiagnosing that. But the fact
he's
managed
got a yellow card, which does not, you don't normally see them give 7.4s and a yellow card.
What point in the game did that happen? Do we know? It was detailed very early, very, very early. So he's had to 14th minute. So he's had to do a lot of work in that game. Five accurate crosses, he's just everywhere. Four key passes, good physicals, reasonable physicals, three successful dribbles. I mean, interesting player, very, very interesting player. I mean, I think I've seen him play a couple of times. I don't remember him because when I've watched Boca Juniors, I wasn't watching it for him. He's been a name that's been around a little while anyway for sort of football games. But very much everything I'm looking at, sort of Argentinian Lewis Hall in my head. It's just in my head. Interesting option.
By the way, Brighton are now 2-0 up, which puts us down to 9th in the Premier League. Billy, what do you make of him? Any sizzle when you look at his stats?
Yeah, obviously he's got Chelsea written all over him for me.
Yeah. I mean, that is the thing, isn't it? I mean, other teams will also be looking. But I wonder if we do get this again in the transfer window when we see loads of teams, you know, Newcastle mentioned with certain players, and then suddenly the usual suspects come in and, you know, Man United are looking at them, Liverpool are looking at them. Chelsea's going to be interesting for me in the transfer window because, you know, do they go all out to spend an absolute fortune again? Or do they take the foot off the gas and actually try and do something with the squad they've got? I've seen them linked to some very expensive players for January. Whether that happens or not, I guess we all obviously just have to wait and see. But I think he'd be a good signing. I like him. You know, again, South American, but he'd come into a situation with, you know, Joe Linton, Bruno, etc. So I don't think it would be a difficult move for him to make. And certainly to play in the Premier League. I think in South America, La Liga is probably where a lot of South Americans want to go or want to finish eventually, because obviously the likes of Real Madrid and Barcelona, they're the ones. But the more we climb this ladder and keep on this journey that we're on, then maybe we can persuade these youngsters to come to Newcastle and do the business for us instead of going all the way to La Liga. But time will tell, of course. Let's have a look. Eddie Howe said he needed one striker and one goalkeeper, so may consider Santiago Jimenez. Would things have been
Santiago? Different?
Would things have been different if we'd got Maddison a while back? Things would have been very different, yes. But unfortunately, it's all hypothetical, lad, because, of course, as we know, he's gone to Tottenham. But he's out injured at the minute. So John says, would love Argentinian players signed for Newcastle. Boca Juniors, yes, please. Just see them in black and white. Foxy says, Barco could be an option for City as well if they move on Gomez. Yeah.
He's level of player. He's going to go somewhere reasonably decent. Loads of potential, high level of technical ability. He'll go somewhere big like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Were you going to do something before the end of the show, Alex?
Yeah, we can have a look at Minte and Miley if you want, because now we've got data for both. Okay. It's been a long time coming, so you're going to enjoy Jan Kuba Minte's data. It's absurd.
Well, I would expect we will.
So 566 minutes in the Eredivisie for Feyenoord. He's actually underperforming a lot in terms of what he's producing XG-wise. 4.2 XG with only the three goals, 1.2 XG with the two assists. So he's actually been quite short-changed, and he still managed five goal contributions in 12 appearances, which I think is an extremely healthy return. It's very, very impressive. Champions League, he's got a goal as well. Champions League goal, brilliant. It's amazing for his age, absolutely incredible.
I'm not having that. I'm just not having that at all.
I mean, we are going to compare him to Almiron, so you will you're going to cry when you see this. So here's his data for men's next 14 competitions. So bear in mind, this is not against the top five leagues. This is not comparing against players from the Premier League, La Liga, the Bundesliga, stuff like that. However, it's still outrageous. Nearly five successful take-ons a game. If he runs at you, he's getting past you. You ain't going to stop him. He's a physical monster. He's explosive. You know, we looked at videos and stuff of him before he joined from his time in Denmark, and he was just like a mini Usain Bolt. He was absurd. The explosiveness was just freaky. You can see it here. 9 progressive carries per 90, nearly 5 successful take-ons. The boy's he's just an absolute raw talent, and his defensive metrics are absurd as well. 3.5 tackles per 90, stupid. He's got the aerial, he's winning the aerial duels as well. Shot creating actions for teammates, 6.8. So he's allowing other teammates in his team to have nearly 7 shots a game because of stuff he's doing for them. Yeah. That's amazing. He's getting 4 odd shots off a game himself. So him being on the pitch is getting you. He's getting you what, 11 shots he for what he's providing for other players and what he's doing himself. 11 is just coming from him alone. Like when you look at match statistics, sometimes teams only have 11 shots. He's causing 11 shots on his own on average per match. It's absurd. The kids, you can see why we bought him. Like the scouts were well and truly on the money when they bought this kid, because he's incredible. Let's do it. Let's click Miggy. Oh dear. It's so good.
Yeah, okay. Very cool.
It is unlimited data. He is playing in a slightly easier league. I would say considerably easier league. I think the Premier League is very, very competitive this year. Yeah, I mean, do I need to say anything? You guys can all see it. I don't need to explain that. Miggy's better at passing and intercepting. I mean, that's it. He's really good. He's really, really good. Yeah, put it that way. If you get a chance, I know some people don't like stats. Go watch some of the highlights for Feyenoord. If you want to see him play, go watch some Feyenoord highlights. He's just incredible. He's a breath of fresh air. He's so raw in how he plays football. Anyway, star boy, golden boy. Here he is, Lewis Miley. One goal, one assist in the Premier League with an assist in the Champions League at only 17 years old. I nearly said seven then. That's not that young.
Christ almighty.
So 800 minutes total. We'll scroll down and we'll give you the data. It might not blow your socks off as much as you're expecting, but for his age, it's still very, very competent. So it's a well above average for pass completion rate. Considering he's a child in that midfield, I think he can hold his head very, very high. He's reasonably good statistics for any midfielder, never mind a 17-year-old. And there's a lot of what he does on the pitch which can't be shown in data. We can obviously go and look at a complete scout report and we can get really detailed, but we don't have the time to do that on shows specifically. So still 1.5 shots per game is really, really impressive. It's well above average. His assists per 90 is well above average for the amount of minutes that he's played. He's there or thereabouts where he should be, middle of the pack for shot creating actions. Passes are really, really tidy. He's getting a high amount of touches in the attacking penalty area and is receiving passes high up. And that's quite evident in the way he plays, because we know he receives the ball high up. He joins in the attack in the right wing. He tries to nip it sort of across the 18-yard box. He's very good at doing that. Clearances and blocks, he's mucking in where it's necessary, with defensive contributions as well. Who's he profiling like? Oh, that's interesting. Marcos Llorente in Madrid. You've got Sean
Longstaff and Joe Willock.
Well, I mean, they all train together and they train to play a certain system. So yeah, it's no surprise that they kind of start profiling similarly. You've actually got Rabiot on this list as well, which is quite interesting. Mm-hmm. Kamada, who we were linked with him a couple of years ago. We did him on a show. Saul, obviously, who went to Chelsea for a bit and played as a wing back. Don't know why. Sabitzer, who was we've seen him twice this year. We saw him play for Dortmund against us. He's a quality player. Yeah, really, really impressive data from those two. Very, very bright futures for both of them.
Yeah, very, very interesting. C15, I hope you weren't talking about Miggy when you said he can grow into a world beater. Please tell me you were talking about Mint there, because I've seen some comments in me time. But that one is very interesting. But I think you were talking about Mint there, and I hope you were, because he is going to be Mint. See what I did there. But there you go, guys. Some interesting names to have a look at, and just giving you.
Michael Burgess just mentioned. Oh, I'm really sorry, I forgot Garren Kuol.
Well, I mean, look, things aren't.
Happening. I feel so bad. Actually, that's terrible of me.
Yeah, but Kuol isn't. Kuol won't be profiled anywhere near what those two are. He hasn't had a great season.
We'll look at him in another show. Yeah, we'll get to him. I promise.
Absolutely. But thank you very much for watching, guys. Thank you for your super chats and new memberships. Thank you very much to the mods and the Billy and Alex. And thank you to you guys so much for tuning in again. Well over 750 tonight, which is fantastic for a Thursday evening. Me and Billy will be back tomorrow night at 7 o'clock with Face the Lads, with our usual Friday night crew. So get yourself on. Come and have a chat with us live on the show for a few minutes. Let us know how you're feeling about Newcastle United at the minute. Get on and be honest and have your say. Do you agree with what we're saying? Do you have your own thoughts on Newcastle United and where you see us going over the next few games into January? It's going to be a very, very interesting show, I think, Face the Lads tomorrow night. So join us at 7 for that. I'll be back at 11 in the morning with the Newcastle United latest news. So if you're available, join me for that. Thank you very much for watching. Don't forget to hit the thumbs up button. And also, please do subscribe if you're new. Join this incredible community. But have a great rest of your Thursday night, folks, and we'll see you all again tomorrow. In the meantime, good night.
Away the lads and lasses. Come back and check on some